We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast, back for the 21-22 season to kick things off on the free podcast that we do, the weekly free podcast of a podcast this week. Where Michael Morton, founder of True Faith, speaks to the lads from Follow Follow fanzine and fan community up at Rangers in Scotland, the recently crowned Scottish Premiership champions. Mick speaks to Mark Dingwall and Graham Hanna, two really good lads who know about all things Rangers Football Club and know about all things Sports Direct, Mike Ashley, and now the Castori Association with their football club, which is also just been agreed or just been announced at St James's Park in Newcastle United as the new club kit sponsors and manufacturers, also running the club shop now at St James's Park. So Mick thought it was a good idea to ask lads in the know about Castori, about how good Castori has been for Rangers Football Club, their experience dealing with the brand and what it means and what it has meant for Rangers, and also what it's meant for Rangers in comparison to the previous deals, and particularly including Mike Ashley's Sports Direct. Gonna leave you with Mick, Mark and Graham mid-conversation as Graham picks up the story talking about where Rangers were immediately after the association with Sports Direct and Mike Ashley had supposedly ended at Rangers. Hope you enjoy the show. We're going to start putting free podcasts out every single week. If you want more Newcastle United content, you can listen to us on Patreon, £5.50 a month for a lot of extra Newcastle United podcasts. We'll have full coverage of pre-season in the gate, and we'll have people at the games that we're allowed to go to as we gear up for the 21-22 season. Enjoy the show.
Just had got into an agreement with Hummel, which appeared to be going well. At the time, there was even a sponsorship deal included for Rangers training ground. It was known then as the Hummel Training Centre. So at that point, we were seemingly getting free from the shackles of the onerous Sports Direct deal and what the club had been subject to in the past. But at that point, all wasn't as it seemed. The ever-stretching tentacles of the Mike Ashley empire and Sports Direct had found their way into Hummel, but more so through the partner that Rangers were dealing with at the time, effectively a third party who were operating a store in Glasgow city centre, as well as there was one that was opened here in Belfast and Northern Ireland as well. So it soon became clear that there was an effective takeover, or certainly involvement from Sports Direct / Mick Ashley, and then that relationship got tangled in litigation, and it just got a bit messy from there. So it almost became a bit of a stalemate, and then it became clear that Rangers would be looking to do what they could to seek pastures now. And then that is where Castor came along and emerged as far as our fan base are concerned. Mark might want to add a bit more to that.
The problem that we've had with Mike Ashley, as you know, is during the when we had what we called the Spivs in charge of the club, was that Lambias and Leach came in, supposedly as independent people, started taking loans from Ashley and building up a position for himself where, you know, he took took ownership of a charge over the training ground and the you know, basically bought the club logo and all that for pennies. And we've had all sorts of problems getting out of that deal. It's still ongoing. At one time, I believe there were up to 6 court cases involving Ashley Gone at the one time. I say supposedly because what he would do is get you into one court case, and then if there was any mention of that anywhere in the internet and newspapers, he would then stick in an interdict, as we call them in Scotland, an injunction, as you call them in England, you know, for contempt of court or breach of contract. And, you know, directors were getting served with these writs, you know, day and daily, you know, at their homes, places of work, even in one case at a railway station. So, and it was all surrounded by secrecy. You know, there was always an overriding a caveat that, you know, these things were to be done in private, and nothing could be reported in the press. So essentially, Ashley was desperate to keep the deal, keep the terms of the deal, and also to cover up what he was doing in the background. And that still seems to be the case, that, you know, the deal that we've got with Castor just now, lo and behold, Kits appeared in Sports Direct before everybody else. Sports Direct last year and this year caused all sorts of hassle amongst the fans by being the first to actually put the kit on sale and to promote the kit on sale even before the official club shop had it. So you can see the vindictiveness of Ashley running all the way through this.
And yeah. just to add on that as well, Michael, for some added context, you know, I'm sure the fans and readers and your community, you know, will be aware of our situation. But back when the Spivs were in control, Rangers were receiving roughly 4 pence in the pound in terms of our merchandise that was being sold. You know, so things are still, you know, we haven't completely broken free, as Mark has mentioned there. Sports Direct, you know, wanting to get pictures out first for a recent kit launch and things like certain items, selling them maybe 6-8 quid cheaper than the Rangers official store. It's just the proverbial bad smell that won't go away.
Yeah. So I suppose it was a bit of a kind of a double-edged sword when you seem to have got rid of Ashley and Castor came in. But I think I remember having conversations with some Rangers fans I know who live down here at the time, and their question was, this is the first kit deal that Castor have ever done, and it seemed to me to be, and to them, and I think I've heard from you lads and what I've seen on the follow message board, is that it was rather a surprise that Castor would go from zero experience in football merchandising of that scale, of the Ranger scale. I mean, God, what a fantastic kit deal for any merchandiser to get, let alone one that was just starting out in this world. To go from nothing to the Rangers deal seemed to be quite a surprise. What are your thoughts about that?
It was a bit of a mystery, because Castor were at the start, they were small, they had shops. Their kit that they had was, you know, sports technical, so it wasn't cheap. They were in bed with Andy Murray fairly quick, and so when they started out when they came out of nowhere to do the Rangers deal, to be frank, we don't really have much of an insight into the club's commercial operations, but they obviously, what I do know is that they put in money, and a lot of money up front. You know, that was in Rangers Bank before a shirt was sold. Since then, they've obviously expanded and they've had various rounds of fundraising to get more money in to help them expand the business. When they hit last year, when the strips hit the shops, and especially the mail order business, there was an absolute tidal wave of complaints. You know, things going missing, things been wrong, logos and so forth peeling off. Now, even if you allow for the hype, that, you know, people go berserk because they've spent 80 quid in a strip and the logo's peeling off, there was absolutely no doubt that there was a problem there in terms of the quality control. I don't think that they were big enough to have their own proper quality control, or to hire in a company that was any good to check the quality control over in China or Turkey or Sri Lanka, wherever they're getting them made. I have to say, when I was dealing with them and I got in fairly quick with them to solve a few problems because I'd threads my board and they're very busy, and they were hiring staff all the time. And I would give them this, that they did seem to respond reasonably quickly. Like, for instance, because the delivery was so disastrous, they get rid of Hermes. Well, they've now got Hermes back. But in terms of the return policy, I mean, I had one guy that had bought 11 items, got them all delivered, and found that only three of them were correct. You know, it was, you know, mismatched sizes and the wrong stuff. And when I got in touch with him, I said, look, this is a nightmare, because this guy is starting to talk online about this. I said, it's an absolute nightmare for you. And okay, we'll get that solved. And they still kept sending them the wrong stuff. You know, when you've got a fantastic, well, not a, wouldn't have been a fantastic example for them, but when you had such a disastrous order over which virtually everything would go wrong, you would move heaven and earth to change it. So when I get back in touch with them, I said, isn't it working? The guy's got the wrong stuff. And it was like, well, what's he complaining about? And, you know, we sent him an extra pair of socks. And I said, you know, you're not really getting this. And, you know, so I had to kick it upstairs to the two directors, and eventually it did get solved. But they obviously had pretty extreme problems of turning it around. There's a thread in my on the website, which is basically, you know, pathetic quality of Castor, and it's hung around for a bad smell. People add to it. If you take away the exaggeration, if you take away the hysteria, there still was a problem. I'm not saying it was anything like 50-50 or even, you know, 10%, but there was enough there for people these days expect delivery to be on time, and they expect quality to be good all the time, every time. And they obviously didn't have that. And there's been a wee bit of that even this season, where I would give them a wee bit of an out this season, because the shirts we've got this year have got quite a lot in them. And obviously, if you get something mis-embroidered or whatever, it means a lot to you, because, you know, you've spent upwards of 80 quid on it, you know? So I would say that they've had extreme problems. When they first came on scene, I mean, the returns agency appeared to be a garage address in Liverpool. And that seems to be what they do, is that they buy in their quality control people, they buy in their PR, you know, so it's all kind of bolted on, and they're the guys that, you know, kind of work their magic and provide the sales and get the shirts made, rather than being a, you know, like Adidas or Nike, where virtually everything's in-house. So we've had our problems with them. And I wouldn't underestimate them, especially for people that are spending their hard cash. But I would say that they have expanded, you know, the Rangers operation to take care of that. And alongside that, if you look at the other teams and the other sports that have moved into just in the last year, I mean, it's been a mercurial expansion of that company. And I don't expect that to come without its own problems.
Yeah. Can I ask just a reference back to Meg Ashley? One of the things that we've kind of heard on the rumour mill, and it is rumour, kind of got a caveat that Ashley does have an involvement with the company. We can't say that he's a director because he isn't, and his involvement is unknown. One of the theories that I've heard bandied about, and I'm not saying this is true or not, is that he's the person that's putting the money in to allow them to expand. So, in essence, because of his loans, he'll own them. And the two very, very young men in Liverpool who own the company, who are the directors of the company, are a front for him. I don't know if there's anything that you can add on that.
I've heard all those things, but I haven't seen a thing to back it up. What I would say is that in the real world, for these guys who are Scousers, they don't have any affiliation to us or indeed Newcastle United, the reality is that Mike Ashley controls such a huge part of the market in the UK, it's very difficult not to deal with him. And because of his size and his experience, he's very skilled at getting in under people's skins, at offering them huge turnovers. And so I've absolutely no doubt that he'll have looked at these guys and looked at their business and thought, they've got something, they've got these stores, they've managed to get these deals pushed over the line with various football clubs. They're up and coming, thrusting young guys. I'll need to get a relationship with them. So I've absolutely no doubt that in the background, there'll be all sorts of meetings and emails flying about between them. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's a bit opaque at the minute. Graham, you talked about some of the issues around quality with some of the kit, and not to exaggerate, we don't want to misrepresent what the case will be, but I had a look at that thread that you sent me, and it, like you said, it was hours worth of unhappy reading, wasn't it? But I don't know if you, just like for our audience, if you like, you want to kind of summarise some of the faults that there were in the kits that you were hearing about, and that was detailed in that thread.
Well, what I can do certainly is give my own personal experience. I wouldn't be one for, you know, buying the full range. But last season, picked up a training shirt, and at first, you know, it was great. But after the first wash, the sponsor logos started peeling, both in terms of the main logo and the castor on the, what, the top right of the shirt. That also was the case with an item I bought at the end of the season. You know, so bearing in mind, going back to last year, this deal was signed and set up, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, you know, around maybe March, April, May time last year. So, you know, I'm sure they were scurrying around with their suppliers. You know, they were caught short, basically. They weren't ready for it. You know, circumstances out with their control, you know, meant that bad products basically went on sale. So I've had to return a couple of items. But last season, Rangers released four kits, home, away, third, and one that was branded as a retro kit to be worn in cups. It was only worn on one occasion, a League Cup defeat to St Mirren, you know, but such is modern football. That shirt didn't have any printed logos on it. As a result, Castor have seemingly moved to a new supplier or partner in terms of the print on their shirts this season. On the replicas, the crest, the Rangers 150th anniversary crest, is embroidered, as is the Castor logo. It's just the 32 red and Unibet for training that it's printed. So we'll see how that goes. In terms of pricing, Rangers at the moment are pretty much the most expensive kit in the UK. For another conversation last week. I had a look at the Manchester clubs, Man United, Man City, and even Chelsea, by way of comparison. We're the most expensive. So, you know, just quickly, a standard shirt is £65, a training shirt, £48, shorts, £38, a training jumper, £68, the Anthem jacket, as it's known, is £95. So it's quite expensive, and in conversation with some people around the fan scene and close to the club, basically at the moment, it's hard for the likes of fans, reps at Rangers to go back to the people upstairs and say that this stuff's too expensive because it's flying out the door. The Rangers support, you know, has an insatiable demand, you know, for everything at the moment. You know, we're on the relative crest of a wave after the title success. When Castor first came to our table, there was a running joke about a previous range of rubber ducks that you would have sitting on your bath. They were pestered. We need rubber ducks. There was, you know, an order sent in and straight away they sold out. You know, so on one hand, there are these issues. And, you know, as Mark has said, there have been issues that need to be made right this season. For a lot of people, this is their last chance. But given the scale, given the demand, given the level of sales, you know, we need to sort of put that into perspective. Things have been bad. Certain things just haven't been good enough. In most people's opinion, certainly for normal working people, whether it's Glasgow, Belfast, over with you on Tyneside, you know, £68 for a 65 quid for a football shirt, it's a lot of money. You know, that should be standing up, you know, in the washing machine. It should be lasting, certainly, at the very minimum, you know, a year in terms of the shelf life, but, you know, much more than that. So we'll see how things go. But even things like within the operation at the moment with Castor, a friend of mine in Glasgow, on the day of release a couple of weeks ago for our new kit, he ordered a shirt for himself and a shirt for his infant son. Now, you know, 2-3 weeks later, he still hasn't got a confirmation email, and he's contacted Castor, and one of these buzzwords, they say they're a digitally native company. So what that means basically is you can contact them by email, not over the phone. They can't quite explain why, you know, there's been this bother with his order. At the same time, you know, there's guys in other parts of the world. You know, I know of one guy in Dubai, his shirt arrived within a matter of days. You know, he got an excellent service, but the guy in Glasgow is still waiting on a confirmation email and no sign of his shirt. So there are these anomalies, ambiguities, and that's part of the problem. We're now into our second season, and we haven't quite got that good consistency. Design-wise, the stuff, you know, is fairly decent on the eye. Quality is up and down, consistent. You know, they've yet to prove their worth in that regard. My experience has been mixed. I'll pick up, you know, a couple of items, you know, over the summer into the next few months. But the jury's still out.
So you mentioned earlier that that the kit prices are going for around £65 for a replica shirt. But you mentioned that Sports Direct had them earlier than the Rangers shop, and that Sports Direct was selling them cheaper than the Rangers shop. Has that been a common theme? Was that a one-off, or has it continued?
Yeah, they've done discounts throughout, you know, the last year with Sports Direct, but that's their style of doing business. Be interesting to see with Newcastle where you are. Somebody threw up the example today that the Wolves one quarter zip is £55 and the Rangers one quarter zip is £68. So I think we'll see where Castor think Newcastle are in terms of their totem on the prices like that, you know. I found, as I say, I found last year the two brothers that own it, Interviewed both of them. Both of them were very upfront. Very clever, to be honest, in terms of when you were interviewing them. It was difficult to pin them down. They were very plausible. When you were dealing with the background people, initially they were, you know, they seemed pretty upfront. But as I say, they did, I don't know how to phrase this in Newcastleese, but they took the nip. If you started to burrow into certain orders and say, you know, but that's no true, and this guy is waiting for his order, and there's so much missing and so much wrong, then suddenly they started to kind of turn it and say, well, you know, a guy's just complaining for the sake of complaining, blah, blah, blah. But they definitely were aware that it was a huge problem last year with quality. When I say a huge problem, I still find it difficult to work out what the percentage of complaints was. They can say 2 or 3%, never able to pin them down on that. But the problem, as we all know, is that people become so used to high standards in replica kit, you know, so that basically when, let's say, Adidas or Nike stuff leaves the factory, the completion rate should be 100%. You know, that's what, you know, as near as damn it, because of the quality control systems they've got in place there. And Castor obviously didn't have that. Whether they've got it in now remains to be debatable. As I said at the start, the only defence I would offer for them is that, you know, in terms of, you know, embroidery and words and so forth, and five stars in the back and Moses McNeil's name inside the back collar, stuff running through it, you know, there's a fair amount of work in the Rangers shirt this year. So it hasn't stopped the complaints, I have to say. You know, there's a thread on the website which is currently standing at 129 pages. Once people started to calm down a little bit, I found last year people became confident to come on and say, I had no problems whatsoever. I got the stuff on time. It's perfect. It's been washed half a dozen times. No complaints. So that's a situation where we are. But I would fully expect over the experience of the last 2 years that you probably will have problems with the quality of the cat that you get.
Interesting, thanks. And what's interesting as well, Mark, is that you had a relationship with Castor, and you were able to contact them and even interviewed the two Behan brothers. Has that been formalised in any way, or is it part of the club's kind of links with supporters? I noticed Club 1872, who are a huge shareholder in the club, aren't they? They had a relationship. You're smiling. There's obviously some internal internal Rangers supporters politics there that I'll not probably go into, but has there been a formal relationship with Rangers and Castor about kind of developing improvements and communicating with fans?
I think to be honest, it was mostly just firefighting to get over the problems last year. There's also the Rangers commercial operation 15, 20 years ago was the Julinor Crown, and then David Murray split it up and sold it off. And so one of the problems that the James Bisgrove, the commercial director, was appointed last year was that he was coming in with virtually no staff. You know, the cupboard was bare. Under the Spiv regime, you know, more and more people had been sacked. In terms of the brothers, I've not been back to them. You know, I'm presuming that they would be happy to pick up the phone and chat again. But the way I tend to operate, whether it's people within the club or within associated companies, is I don't pester them with minutiae. That's not to say that, you know, some of these complaints don't hold merit. But I like to think that, you know, when they see my name in an email or I phone them, that they're thinking, well, this must be reasonably serious if he wants to chat, you know, because he's not a time waster. So I've basically been looking at this and thinking, I'll give it a week or two to calm down and then get in touch with them to see what the update's like, you know.
Yes, so just moving to our very own Newcastle United, who are now in the Castor stable, if you like. What are your views on them getting the merchandise and deal at Newcastle?
I thought it was surprising, to be honest. And obviously, with my paranoia head on, you know, the link with Ashley immediately started bells going off. In terms of where we are, if you look back to, say, 20 years ago, when I was talking to our then chief exec, Martin Bain, you know, and he was saying, you know, people like Adidas, Nike, there are certain clubs that these guys like to get hold of. Manchester United, Newcastle, Rangers, Spurs, Leeds for some reason, because the white shirt tends to sell well with non-Leeds supporters during the summer. And they're desperate to get a hold of these big clubs to do deals with. And, you know, back then, Bain actually said to me, Mike Ashley's a destroyer of brands. He's not a builder of brands. You know, in terms of he gets hold of a brand and whatever it once was, it gets driven into the ground and essentially destroyed. He's done that with Everlast. He's done it with Lonsdale. I like to remember back, my dad was a boxer, so I can remember getting an Everlast sweatshirt when I was at school, and I was the talk of the school because you never saw that gear unless, you know, you're watching a boxing match with Harry Carpenter.
And, oh, well, I used to wear one more.
Sorry?
Paul Weller used to wear one.
Well, taught him all he knows. Same haircut as me as well. And so, you know, that's been Ashley's reputation for 20 years, maybe more. And when you look at Newcastle United, and this isn't to mollycoddle you or your listeners, I think what you've been through, going back to the, I can remember when you guys were complaining about, I hope I get the pronunciation correct, McKeague, Sir John Hall, Ashley. And, you know, I think it's been a tragedy what's been happening with your club in terms of how Ashley's been treating the organisation. I think he's treated it and you guys with absolute contempt. So whether that, sorry, it will at some point work its way out, whether you've many assets left at the end of it is perhaps a different question for another time, you know. But coming back to them doing the deal with Newcastle, I think it shows the level of seriousness that these guys are at. I mean, they've got Wolves, they've got Roma, I think it's South Sydney Rabbitohs in the rugby league down in Australia. I believe it's the West Indies in cricket. So, you know, they've been busy and they're getting into big contracts with people around the world. So, you know, they're certainly... the last year has been a big, big year for these guys. And having Newcastle, which as we all know is traditionally a shirt-wearing club, then that's obviously... They'll have had to beat off huge competition from other companies, I would imagine, to get that.
Yeah, we are told that that they're a disruptor within the market and that... that powers that be at Newcastle, well, there is only one power at Newcastle, and that's Ashley. We're unhappy about Puma and their treatment of the club, and it's probably a sign of how far we've fallen. That Puma didn't no longer value having Newcastle as much. That's what the media tell us. That's what the local media have told us. But the local media aren't doing any kind of investigation into the experience at Rangers, when even though they're part of the same thinking company, they just haven't done that. But I certainly recognise what you talk about in terms of the destroyer of brands, because Ashley's been a destroyer of a football club at Newcastle and it continues to be. But interestingly, it's good to hear that you have the same perspective as we do about the man. Sorry, Mark, I interrupted when you were going to speak.
Yeah, one of the Rangers directors who's actually dealing with Ashley told me that, you know, when they went down to his HQ, he's got an entire mock store down there. And at that time, what he was looking at was in terms of the revenues that were coming into Sports Direct, he was aware that, you know, other people were starting to do the same kinds of things as him. And he'd looked at America, where to get more value out of the brands, you know, why would you compete with Walmart? You can't compete with Walmart. So what he was thinking of doing was to go on quality, was to have stores that weren't as cramped with stock, that they had better brands in them, and because you can charge more for them. So whether he stayed with that, whether he will stay with it, it's another matter. But he's, you know, he's forever looking at the market and looking to see how he can squeeze an extra pound out. I mean, if you look at the you know, the various brands that he controls, then obviously he can continue for a long time making this kind of money. But he might also start to look at people like Castore, who, if you look at their stores and what they're charging for sale at their Andy Murray range, then obviously they're able to squeeze out extra value. You know, now whether that material that they're selling there is, you know, has got a higher percentage of wool or cotton as opposed to polyester, he's certainly able to charge more for it, and people are prepared to buy it. Their stores are not really football stores, you know, they're lifestyle brands. And he may be looking at that and thinking, is the market changing so that, you know, Newcastle fans, for instance, if you're offered a shirt which is a different quality, I mean, what we had last year with Rangers was that effectively the two replicas on sale. One was what in rugby league they would call a plain shirt, i.e. heavier, thicker, and then they had the replica. Whereas prior to that, whatever you bought in the Rangers shop was what the players were actually playing in. So they were charging extra for that plain weight shirt. You know, it's just another way to have another shot.
Well, I think we could speculate on Mike Ashley's business strategy all day and all night. I know, and I take your point, Mark. But, you know, he's opening up these new flannels shops, and the one in Newcastle is luxurious. I can only say that it's a world away from Sports Direct, which is on the other side of Northumberland Street in the centre of Newcastle, as it happens. But so Graham, can I come back to you? And if I was asking you to summarise kind of where Castore is at now after almost 12 months at Rangers, if not a little more, and what they would have to do to be acceptable in terms of quality, etc., etc., what would you say those two subjects are?
As Mark alluded to, they have branched out in terms of other contracts, other clubs that they're working with. Interestingly, for the Wolves deal, Wolves are actually outsourcing their merchandise to a third party under license from Castore. So the deal is that Castore are dealing with the kit for the football club, for the teams, and from what I believe, I read a statement on Wolves' website that selected lines, almost like exclusives, will be available to the fans. But Wolves are, in terms of general merchandise, are doing their own thing. They're going to get another supplier. The Castore logo will be on them. So that's going to work slightly differently. In terms of where Castore are now, with their relationship with Rangers at Ibrox, they now know exactly what the demand is like from the Rangers support. You know, throughout Scotland, various parts of the UK, all over Europe and elsewhere, you know, there's a huge demand, but they're laughing. You know, they're laughing all the way to the bank. With the Rangers deal, Rangers have a royalty on every sale. Recently, towards the end of the season, our commercial and marketing director, James Bisgrove, confirmed that they were just about over the the $500,000 point in terms of individual sales. So, you know, that's a lot of pennies to add up. It was supposed to be, Mark, I think it was $25 million over the term of the contract, which we think, it wasn't confirmed, we think it's 5 or 6 years that Rangers have signed up. We don't know all the details. I'm sure there will be reviews as part of that. But in terms of what you can, what you should expect, Castor aren't coming to St. James's Park blind in terms of working with a big football club with a passionate fan base and big demands. So the early mistakes that we had last season should not be repeated. Given, as Mark said, how the company operates, you know, it would be maybe unfair to say that they're a startup. They're a bit more advanced than that. They've just moved into a multi-million pound office complex in Manchester, moving from Liverpool. So they're moving up the ladder. They've got big money behind them, but they aren't an Adidas or a Nike, as you know. So there will be problems. There will be teething issues. One of the articles I read on the Chronicle, you know, they're looking to do something different with the Newcastle shirt. You know, come on, lads. There's only so many ways you can rebrand the black and white stripes.
My idea, just with black and white stripes, black shorts with black socks with a white trim at the top. That works every time for me.
You touched in the article in the fanzine over the weekend, you know, this better never stops catchphrase that they have. You know, it can catch them out because, you know, anytime there's a complaint, you know, a fan can say, you know, that's, you know, this isn't better, you know, better never stops. What is it? So sometimes that can trip them up. But there will be lots of Rangers, I'm sure. In terms of the prices that I've discussed, you know, that will be Castor marketing their products, but as well, Rangers will have a say in that. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what range and to what extent you guys get. Over the course of last season, I think there were around 4 or 5 different ranges of training kit on top of 4 strips that were launched towards the end of the season. We had an end of season range. We then had a trophy lift range when we were getting the title against Aberdeen. So, you know, on one hand, there's us, you know, fan culture people, traditionalists saying, you know, this is too much, you know, stop. But on the other hand, a lot of the stuff's flying out the door, like hot cakes. People love to moan when there's nothing to buy, you know, and then when there's too much and it's expensive. You know, market economics, supply and demand will dictate a lot of what goes on, you know, to a certain extent. But, you know, I'm interested to see exactly how they work with Newcastle. You know, the sceptical part of me, you know, is thinking, what's in this for Ashley? You know, as Mark was saying there, obviously, you know, he has a monopoly on the high street, on sports retail, effectively, not just here in the UK, but throughout Europe. So if he's, you know, he's certainly not in the charity, you know, he's no, you know, philanthropist. So he's not giving anything away. What's he getting in return? I know details in terms of your sales and your, you know, your accounts and things like that haven't been forthcoming. You know, you get crap like, you know, it's commercially sensitive and all this. We know what Mike Ashley's like. We know the business model, the way he works. So there is unease. There's obvious angst, you know, up at Ibrox with us, with scar tissue from the past, people putting two and two together when we see this deal with Castor and Newcastle. So we will see what comes. What I would say to you guys, you know, don't take the crap that we got last year. You know, there are certain things that are inexcusable, but at the same time, it does need to be put into proportion. A lot of the stuff, you know, people are happy with it, but in terms of the margins and the percentages, there was far too much poor quality that went out. The mail order system still isn't right. So even if it's, you know, stuff going to Gateshead or down to London, you know, if there are Geordies working down there, there will be the same issues that we have had. And as Mark said, they're back with Hermes. How can Better Never Stop if they're using a Zero Hours mob like Hermes? You know, so they need to be held to account, you know, and I'm sure you guys, True Faith, you know, will fly the flag with that. Castor were receptive to follow other Rangers fan media outlets. You know, there was a bit of a charm offensive at first, but it was good. There was a good conversation. It was nice that they were speaking to fans groups, fans reps, as a way of, you know, an introduction, establishing a relationship effectively. Things might be done slightly differently. I don't think, knowing a wee bit of the Newcastle and fan dynamic, I can't see Ashley, Charnley, etc., saying to the Behan brothers, you know, here's Mike and the guys at True Faith, you know, go and have a conversation with them, you know, because we know that they don't like talking to the fans. You know, we're lucky, given that all that we have been through, our board at Rangers, you know, we essentially have fans on the board in terms of, you know, guys who have done well in business. We're almost at the other end of dealing with people who are in it to asset strip and to burn the club to the bare bones. You know, so we know what that's like. You know, our empathy is with you to a certain extent on that, certainly, but you don't have that relationship, so it won't be quite the same. In terms of Castor's customer service itself, it's not great. They have a general email address, and then they have a dedicated Rangers team who respond. In my experience, they get back within a couple of days, which is fine, but it's a very mixed bag in terms of the response and the outcome. You know, so in a nutshell, going forward for us in terms of quality and the relationship, this is our second season. A lot of the products with the new release, it does look better, it does feel better. We'll see how the kit washes and how we get on. You know, there are various things planned for us. It's our 150th anniversary coming into next year. You know, Castor will be rubbing their hands. You know, there'll be various ranges and various incentives. They are doing very well out of this Rangers contract, as are Rangers. So we'll see. It's been very much a mixed bag, certainly an improvement on what we had. But going forward, it needs to be better, and it should get better. So we will see what you guys get, and you will benefit from Castor's initial year with us. But as we said, they're growing. As Mark said, West Indies cricket, Aussie rules, Aussie rugby league. They have tendered for the likes of Roma. That they were unsuccessful with Roma, Mark, but they're certainly at the table for bigger clubs. So they're wanting to get bigger, to scale out, you know. But they have to, bring their whole operation in line with that if they want to be a big player in the Premier League, in Serie A. But even with Rangers and our demand, then you need to act like a big company and not just Better Never Stops. Don't just talk the talk, but, you know, walk the walk too.
Thanks, Graham. Any final words from you, Mark?
No, I just the one thought that does come to my head was again talking to one of the directors that was down meeting with Ashley, and Ashley was aware of how the market's been changing. You know, he's saying 20 years ago everybody was mad for replica tops. Now, you know, the world has changed, and across vast swathes of England, you know, you can't get into pubs and clubs wearing shirts. And so the market doesn't stay the same. So whilst, you know, Newcastle is the cliche that everybody wears the shirt, I think these guys will be very aware of any changes in that. I would like to think that they have learnt from dealing with Rangers over the last year, because it certainly been a bit of a rocky road for them. I would say towards the end of last season, they did seem to have it, you know, pretty well under control. And if we're anything, sorry, if you guys are anything like us, then I would be prepared for all sorts of limited additions and, you know, extra training kit and so forth to squeeze those few extra pounds out of you. But I would take my cue from Graham there and just say to people, if you have a problem, then get in quick. You know, don't wait for it to get better by itself. Get in there. And I would say with the two brothers that are in charge, go straight to them.
You know, thanks, Graham. I think they'll be doing well to sell much kit, given on the back of Steve Bruce's manager and Mike Ashley as owner. A lot of people have switched off from buying merchandise, and sadly some have chucked going to games now as well, such as the bitterness and meltdown around these parts, which I know you keep an eye on, Mark. Thanks very much. Congratulations on winning the league in Scotland. Fantastic achievement. Wonderful to see Stephen Gerrard serving his apprenticeship at Ibrox pretty well. And he should learn a lot of good lessons before he comes to Newcastle to replace Steve Bruce. So I'll be up in the morning to pick him up. Tell him to put his own sandwiches up, but I'll be up at 10 o'clock.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.